We've spent the last 2 weeks in this new series called More, looking at the idea and this truth that the very Spirit of God is with us. In fact, he's inside of us. As believers, we understand not only have our sins been forgiven by Jesus' work on the cross, not only are we guaranteed eternal life with God in heaven one day, but we also are given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us and to guide us through life. And so this is, we've been talking, is a growing relationship, a relationship that can develop throughout the course of our lives. We've been phrasing it that we can have more of God, hence the name of the series, that we can have more of God's Spirit, a deeper relationship with him. And so today what I want to do is explore a major aspect of relationship, of any relationship really, and that is communication. Now, you can look up the topic of communication, and there are hundreds of books, and there's been thousands of seminars and counseling sessions all focusing on this idea of communication. And the big question they all ask is, how can we communicate better to build healthier relationships? Because the key to any good relationship really is communication. Think about the relationships in your life, whether it's with your spouse, your children, your parents, your boss, your friends. Can you imagine a relationship with these people where you don't communicate at all? And if you think about those relationships and you think about the ones that are strained, many times it's because you have an issue in your communication. If you can't communicate, you can't build a relationship. And so when it comes to building a relationship with God's Spirit, how do we communicate? And the answer, I think, is kind of obvious. We pray. Prayer is this communication, this talking to and listening to God. But when we pray, most of us do all the talking. I'm one of the chief guilty here. How do you feel when your spouse or your friend doesn't let you talk? Have you ever had a friend where you get together and they talk and they talk and they talk and you never get to get a word in? That's my twin brother, by the way. Is that a growing relationship? And the answer is no. But we talk about listening in our prayers and listening as God speaks to us, but do we actually do that? And for many of us, I think the answer is no. It's something that we struggle with. And part of the struggle is we ask the question, well, does God actually speak to me? The underlying thing is, if I'm going to listen in prayer, the question is, does God actually speak to me individually? Now, I think we all would agree that God speaks to us, but we think of it in more general terms. When I open up Scripture, God will speak to me through the Scriptures. That God might speak to you through a sermon or through a message. But does God speak to you as an individual? Do you hear God's voice? Does God speak to you about your everyday life? The answer is yes, he does, if we're listening. Again, in every growing relationship, communication or growth happens by communication. And this is the same with God. For us to grow in a relationship with God, we have to communicate with God. We talk to him in prayer, but we also listen. And the truth of Scripture is that God does speak to us. But as I talked about for the last couple of weeks, this idea of having more of the Holy Spirit and communicating with the Holy Spirit, this can be uncomfortable. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about just inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives, and I think that's been okay for most of us. But as we talk about actually hearing God speak to us, I think this is now where some of us are entering the uncomfortable zone. But I want to walk through this together today and just see how Scripture talks about God's voice. So I want to start quickly and just look at one verse in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. And Paul's writing, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So as I look at that verse that Paul's writing, there's three things I kind of pull out. First of all, Paul says he keeps asking. He's continuously asking God to give the Spirit. And I think that kind of talks about what we looked at last week, that we can keep asking. We don't just receive the Spirit, we can have more of the Spirit. We can ask God. And so Paul says, I continuously ask God to do this, and we can do the same thing. And Paul references the Holy Spirit as being the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, what does that mean? That the Spirit is revealing things to us. He's imparting wisdom to us. He helps us to grow in our relationship. He helps us to know how to live by telling us things. That's communication. And then Paul says, I keep asking God to give you more of the Spirit so that you can know him better. In other words, that you can have a growing relationship, I keep asking God that the spirit of revelation would communicate with you to grow a relationship, to know him better. So I think even in this one verse alone, we begin to see that we can really have a communication building relationship with the Spirit. Because all relationships are built on communication. That's the underlying premise this morning. And so I just want to say, if you don't really think that's true, just pause for a minute and think. Imagine yourself going out to a restaurant and you're going to people watch. I don't know if you do this. When we go out to eat, I tend to look around and watch the other tables. So if you were sitting at a restaurant and you look out and you see people who are sitting face to face having a conversation with each other, what do you assume? This is a couple who's building a relationship. They might be starting a dating relationship or friends, but they're talking to one another. You see them talking, you go, they've got a good relationship. You look to the next table and there's a man and a wife sitting face to face, but their faces are down on their phones. What do you now assume about their relationship? They don't have a great relationship. It's not really building or going anywhere. You look around the room and you see two older individuals sitting at a table, and they're not even talking to each other, but they're just looking at each other, and just you can tell they're enjoying each other's presence. Their communication is so deep that they don't even have to use words. They're just together enjoying the moment. And then you look at the next table, and this table is also silent, but they're both kind of looking around. And you go, that's a first date that's not going anywhere. You can tell based on the communication you see happening what the relationship is like. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit being inside of us, we can hear his voice if we listen. And that communication will develop a relationship. Now, I've already mentioned, when we think about the Holy Spirit speaking, we think about God speaking through Scripture. And yes, God does speak to us through his word. It's why we spend Sunday mornings digging into the word of God to hear what he's trying to tell us. It's why we hopefully are reading our Bibles every day to see what God is speaking into our lives. Scripture is the primary way in which we receive the words of God. The words of Scripture have absolute authority over our lives. I can't open up the Bible and say, well, the Bible says I shouldn't lie, but that doesn't apply to me. No, Scripture is God's authoritative word. And so when I open Scripture, whatever God says there is what I should do. But the Bible doesn't always answer my specific questions about 21st century issues. The Bible will speak into generic ideas of how I should live. But hey, should I take this job or this job? Or should I enroll my kids in private school or Christian school or public school? These issues, the Scriptures give us general answers to, but when I want specific answers, God will speak to me. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation can speak into our lives if we're listening. Now, I think many of us have heard this before. Many of us have heard, oh, God speaks to us. We just all assume that we can't hear him. We believe that this ability to hear God's voice is reserved for the spiritual elite among us. That I'm just not a good enough Christian to hear from God, or I'm just not gifted that way. But that's not at all what Scripture teaches. Scripture says we can all hear God speak. Yes, some of us are better at listening because we've been practicing, and some of us have a spiritual gift where we're enabled to hear God's voice more clearly. But the truth is, each and every one of us can hear God's Spirit speaking to us because he's inside of us. Just a quick tour of Scripture shows us this. A few verses this morning, John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. They hear me. I know them and they follow me." John 16:13-15, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Spirit will speak only what he hears." He's speaking, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit will receive from me, that is Jesus, what he will make known to you. Jesus continuously says, the Spirit is speaking on my behalf. Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We as believers all consider ourselves to be children of God, and Paul says, if you're a child of God, you're also listening and following the Spirit. And then Peter in Acts 2, in the middle of his big sermon on Pentecost, says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on both my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." As we read through these verses, the overwhelming idea is that we can all hear God. that all believers have the Spirit of God, regardless of their age, regardless of their young or old, male or female. All believers have the Spirit, and we can all hear him. It just takes some practice. It takes learning how to recognize God's voice. And I think we see this in our everyday lives. Many of you have had the joys and the exhaustion of bringing home a newborn. Now, it might be hard to remember, but before those events in your life, you used to sleep through the night. You used to go to bed and you'd wake up at the alarm clock the next morning. And for some of us, even thunderstorms wouldn't wake us up. We could sleep like a log. And then you bring this new baby home, and all of a sudden you learned how to listen. Because all of a sudden that one particular cry, and you would be awake in a moment's notice. In fact, the more you got to know your baby, you would learn which cries were urgent and you needed to get up for, and which cries they didn't need you for. You learned how to listen in your sleep. Another example is your cell phone. Now, I have this problem where I tend to go back and forth between iPhones and Androids, and so the ringtones are different. And so I get this new phone, and I can't get my same ringtone. And so for the first week or so, my phone can be ringing, and I have no clue. I just ignore it, because I haven't learned to listen to it. And yet after a few weeks of that ringtone, I can be in a room full of people, everybody on their phones, all the phones making noise, and when my phone rings, I know my ringtone, and I can hear it above everything else. It's the same way with God's voice. We have to learn to recognize his voice and learn to hear him in the midst of life. The Bible says we all have the Spirit of God and we can all hear him. We just need to learn how, and we need to practice. We need to expect to hear him. And I think for many of us, that's the problem, is we don't expect God to speak to us. And yet God says, I will speak to you through my Spirit if you learn to listen. I want to look quickly this morning at a story in 1 Kings chapter 19, at a story where Elijah, this prophet in the Old Testament, is seeking God's voice. Now, this is coming after a major victory for Elijah, a major spiritual high. You'll recall the story of Elijah on the mountain with 450 prophets of the idol Baal. And it's Elijah by himself against these 450 guys. And the goal is, hey, we're going to each build an altar and we're going to pray. And whoever's God rains fire down, that's the true God. And so the prophets of Baal, nothing happens for hours. Elijah whispers a simple prayer. Fire falls. He wins the day. He's on a spiritual high. And yet he runs off into the wilderness, and he feels like he's missing God. He feels like he's missing out on something. And so we get this very brief story in 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 11. And Elijah is off in the wilderness, and God says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It's in this story that we see Elijah is seeking God's voice. Elijah is seeking God's presence. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't entirely understand that, in that he's already communicating with God. He's already speaking to God. God is saying, go out to the cave, go out of the cave, wait for my presence. They're already communicating, but in whatever sense, Elijah is desiring something more. He wants to experience more of God's presence, and so he goes out seeking God. And so when he goes and he waits on God's presence, several things happen. Hurricane force winds come and they shatter the mountain. Rocks are falling down because of this wind. And when that finishes up, this mighty earthquake comes and the earth is shaking. And after that, blazing fires begin to erupt. And in the midst of each of these mighty forces, God is not there. And yet a gentle whisper comes. And it's in that moment Elijah recognizes God and a conversation begins. And I think this really kind of shows us what we expect for God. We're supposed to expect that God is going to speak to us. We see that in Scripture, that God says, "My Spirit will communicate with you." And we also know that God is an omnipotent, all-powerful, sovereign God. And so our expectation is that when God speaks, it's going to be this mighty, earth-shattering voice. And yet in Elijah's story, that's not where God shows up. God speaks in this gentle whisper. This thing that you can almost miss if you're not paying attention. Because we need to learn how to hear that gentle whisper of a voice. Charles Stanley, a famous pastor, he put it this way. Most of us go through life thinking, if God has something to say to me, he will make it apparent. We have a passive attitude when interacting with the Father. We don't take into account that the Lord wants us to hear him and is constantly speaking messages of wisdom, hope, and instruction. If we can make the shift in the way we listen to him, it will radically transform our relationships with him. While God speaks to you and me through every situation, our hearing is dependent upon our anticipating and paying attention to his instructions. And so I think for many of us, we expect God to hit us over the head when he speaks, and yet he speaks in a still small voice. And are we paying attention to that voice? And for many of us, the answer is no. We struggle to hear that small voice. And if I'm being honest this morning, this is not something that I'm good at. I struggle to be still and to hear God's voice. Yes, God speaks to me from Scripture, and I hear him leading me, but for specific words, to listen in specific times, to hear God speak, that's a challenge for me. And a large part of my challenge, and I think it's a challenge for many of us, is that we're too busy and we're too rushed. Do you remember the last time that you just created a quiet space to be with God? And if and when you did that, did your brain actually let you have a quiet space? If you're like me, once I try to slow down, my brain keeps running 1,000 miles a minute. And so one of the keys we want to look at this morning is to hearing God's voice is that we need to learn how to be still and listen. Because this is a real big challenge for us, especially in our modern era. Elijah simply stood in the cave on the mountain waiting for God. And we have a hard time just waiting and being still. And that's one thing that I love about our dwelling places on Wednesday night is they're designed to help us slow down, to create this space to simply be with God. And so again, I'm encouraging you to join us this Wednesday or for the six-week series before Easter to create that space. Interesting. To create that space to hear God, to work on our listening skills. A second key, though, to understanding what we mean when we talk about God speaking is to understand that when I say God speaking, I don't just mean words. Yes, we can hear God speak specific words into our hearts and our minds, but oftentimes God will speak in other ways. God might speak through a verse of Scripture. He might speak through a song or a phrase that comes to mind. He might even speak through a picture that comes to mind. God speaks in a variety of ways. Last week, we looked briefly at John chapter 3, and Jesus says the Holy Spirit's like a wind. You don't know where he came from. You don't know where he's going. You can't control him. And so we can't control how God speaks to us. We can simply learn how to listen to the multiple ways he might speak. And so we need to slow down, and we need to listen, and simply let God speak. And for many of us, it's not easy. But we can get better. It takes practice. One of the things that we tend to worry about, I'm assuming many of you are like me, because who wouldn't be? But I always worry, these things pop into my mind, how do I know if it's God? And one thing that I've learned is that we don't need to worry about that, because if it's God speaking, these things will come to mind and they will grow in our minds. And if it's something that we're putting into our own minds, it's not going to stay there. It'll dissipate if we're just being still and listening. And so we don't have to necessarily worry about what comes to mind. It's just listening to what is there. The other thing, another key for me at least, is it's okay. In fact, it's helpful to ask questions. See, often we think about, when we talk about listening, we think I should just be sitting in a dark room by myself, just sitting there listening. But what do you do when you try to start a conversation with a friend? You ask them a question. How are you? If you meet someone new, what do you do for a living? You use questions to begin a conversation. And the same can be true with a conversation with God. Yes, we should listen, but we can ask a question. If you're like me, again, I keep saying this morning, if you're like me, this is a very personal thing I'm trying to learn to do, but my mind starts running and I have a hard time listening. But when I ask a question, it helps to focus my mind. Now, granted, God may not choose to answer the question I'm asking, but it helps me to focus my mind to listen. So I want to share this morning just an experience with this with y'all. A few months ago, I shared with you that I had gone down to Tennessee with John Owens and a team from the church to a conference called Quiet Waters. And Quiet Waters is designed, like our dwelling place, to create a quiet space to hear God speak. And so towards the end of the first night, they did just this. They said, here are some questions we want everyone here to ask God. And there were about 500 or so in the room. They said, we're just going to be quiet, and we're going to give you some questions to ask God. Now, my problem with asking questions is that once I ask the question, I try to guess the answer. It's like taking a test at school. I want to know the answer. And so I struggle with this. I'm being very transparent this morning. I'm not good with this, but I'm trying to be better. And I'm hoping that we as a congregation are trying to hear God more. And so they said, here's the first question we want you to ask God. And that question is, what do you love about me? God, what do you love about me? And so immediately I started guessing very biblical things, very Bible-y answers. And I was trying to be good about listening to God's voice. And so I would try to push these things aside. Thoughts kept jumping into my mind. And as I'm sitting there trying to listen and trying not to guess the answer, a phrase came to mind, and it was, you are who I created you to be. Now, this wasn't quite what I was expecting for the question. What do you love about me? You are who I created you to be. I thought, oh, that's not really a Bible answer. It's not really something. So I thought, that's kind of different. But I don't feel like it's necessarily from God. But I wrote it down. I thought, I'll write this down just because I'm supposed to write something down. And so as we sat there for a while, and they said, well, now just ask God, do you have a message for me? Oh, well, that's even more generic. So again, I immediately started trying to fill in the blanks with Bible. And I kept coming to the word go. And so I'm thinking, oh, it's like the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Like, this is such a Bible answer. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And I just thought, this is not working. I'm not hearing God speak. And I'm really frustrated because I was trying to, but it just wasn't working for me. And then they said, well, ask God if there's a Bible verse that comes to your mind. Now, normally, when God has given me some direction on Scripture, I get a phrase of Scripture. I'm really bad with memorizing the book and chapter. And so typically, I'll get a phrase. And then what you do is you go to Google and you type in that phrase, and it'll tell you where it is in the Bible. Really helpful. So they said, okay, what Bible verse comes to mind? And so I'm thinking a phrase is going to pop up. Before I even have time to guess, Isaiah 6:9 pops into my head. Now, about an hour earlier, we had opened our Bibles for something, and my bookmark had been in Isaiah. I had to open to Isaiah and move the bookmark. So I thought, I must have subconsciously seen Isaiah 6:9. But I'll go ahead and open there just because what else am I going to do? And so I opened up to Isaiah 6:9, which is not where my bookmark had been. And Isaiah 6:9 says, and he said, go. And all of a sudden, everything fell into place for me. That God was saying to me, go, be who I created you to be. Now, I realize that that may not make sense to some of you, but for me at that specific moment in time had a very significant meaning. And all of a sudden I was going, God just spoke to me. Like, I was, well, you can ask anyone who was there. I was very elated. We got back to the hotel that night, and I couldn't stop talking about it. I heard God speak, and I was really excited. And so this was day one of our conference. So day two, I arrive, and I'm really excited because now I'm an expert at listening to God speak, all right? And so I was expecting God to speak to me again. And God did, but he spoke to me in a different way day number two. He spoke to me through someone else. Now, it's one thing to hear God speak. It's another thing when someone walks up to you and says, I have a message from you, for you from God. And during our break, a woman came up to me. I had kind of said, waved at her briefly the day before. She was sitting on our section. We hadn't talked at all. And she comes up to me. She says, I have a picture on my heart that I'm supposed to share with you. Talk about being outside your comfort zone. But I'm thinking, I'm trying this listening thing. And so the long story short is leading up to the trip, they had advised us to spend some time just examining our hearts. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Is there anything you're struggling with? And I knew the answer. As soon as they said we should do this, I knew what the answer was for me. Because I had been struggling for months with anger. There was someone about 2 years ago now that had really hurt me. And I had forgiven them. I knew I had forgiven them, but I just couldn't let go of the anger. Right, this is really hard as a pastor. I'm like, we should forgive people, and I preach that. And yet I had this anger that I just couldn't let go of. It always seemed to come out when I was mowing, because I'm mowing and thinking about anything because I'm just going in straight lines. And I would just find myself angry over and over again. I just couldn't let go of the anger. And so I knew, going to the trip, I knew this was something I was struggling with. And this woman comes up to me and says, I have this picture. And she describes this picture to me, and it made no sense to her, but it was exactly what I needed to hear. She had no clue what she was telling me. She didn't know the situation. She didn't understand the picture she was giving me. And I won't explain it this morning. It's somewhat long. But she knew that God wanted her to tell me that, show me that picture. And in that moment, my anger vanished. I still can't explain it to you, because I feel like I should still be angry at this person, and I'm not. God spoke to me through this woman, not in the way he spoke to me the first night. Now, these were really awesome experiences for me. I heard God speak so clearly. The problem is they're not reproducible. I can't just copy and paste them. I'm still learning how to listen. I'm still learning how to be still with God. But I know that he does speak to me, and I know that he can speak to you. But it takes a willingness, and it takes an expectation, and it takes an openness to the Holy Spirit. So as we open our spiritual ears, one of the biggest questions that we're going to ask is, how do I know this is God? How do I know this is God speaking to me? Because what we do is we tend to fear that it's not God speaking, that, you know, our own minds are creating it, or maybe even Satan is speaking into our lives. And so rather than moving forward despite that fear, we just choose not to listen at all. But we can hear him, and we should be listening, and we can know that it is God's voice as we know, recognize the sound of his voice. But just to help kind of give some confidence, there are four quick tests or questions that you can ask when you think God might be speaking. I want to go through these very quickly here as we wrap up this morning. But the first question that you can ask is this scriptural? Is this biblical? Because God will never speak something to you that goes against his word. We already mentioned that the Bible is God's authoritative word. God's never going to say to you, you should lie to your spouse. Because in the Bible, he says, don't lie. And so if you're questioning, is this God's voice, you can begin to say, well, is this biblical? Is this scriptural? Because if it's not, then that's not God's voice. The second question you can ask is, what is the tone of the message? God will never speak to us harshly or condemningly. Now, yes, God might reveal a sin in our lives. He might show us an area that we're struggling, an area that we need to improve on, but he will always do that in love. When God condemns us of sin, he does it in a loving voice, in a loving tone. If the message that you're hearing is only full of hurt and there's no love in it, that's not God speaking. Oftentimes, that's you putting words into God's mouth. God will always speak with a tone of love, even when he's showing you weakness. The third question we can ask is, does this resonate with me? Does this grip me? Do I connect with this thought or with this picture? Again, going back to my own story at Quiet Waters, these words didn't make sense to me at first, yet I couldn't get rid of them. And so I reluctantly wrote them down. This woman comes with this picture, and it resonated with me, and I knew instantly it was from God. If the thing that comes to mind tends to linger, you can't get rid of it, that's probably from God. And the fourth question that you can ask is, what fruit is going to come of this? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, Jesus says that you will recognize false prophets by the fruit. You will recognize, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And the same thing can be said about these messages, these words we might be hearing from God, is that, what is the fruit, or what is the production, or what produces out of these things? God's words to us should have some kind of positive effect in our life, producing good spiritual fruit. And so if I hear this message that really is not producing anything, it may not be from God. So we can ask these questions to confirm or help us to know that, yes, this is God speaking to me. The bottom line is that you can hear God speaking through his Spirit in your life. This might be outside of many of our comfort zones. I know some of us have experienced listening, and some of us have never tried just to sit and be still before God. But as we seek more of the Spirit, a deeper relationship with God in our lives, we need to learn how to listen. And so what I want to do this morning is actually close our service with some listening time. And again, I know this is uncomfortable for some of us, but we're going to try it. And so as we close this morning, we're going to have some background music playing for about 5 minutes just to sit together and listen. Now again, being in a room full of people and no one's talking is extremely uncomfortable. I typically am the first person to start talking. So this is for myself as well, just to sit and be quiet, to practice opening our ears and hearing God's voice. If you don't know where to start this morning, ask God a question and then listen. And then just grab a pencil out of the pew or a pen on the back of your bulletin or something and just write down whatever comes to mind. Don't worry if it's right or wrong. Just write down what comes to mind. And later today or this week, you can test it. You can look at those questions and say, does this resonate with me? What's the tone here? Is this God speaking? But just write down whatever comes to mind this morning. And so if you want to start by asking God a question, I wrote down a few that to suggest. You could ask God, what do you see when you look at me? God, what do you like about me? You can ask God, God, when was the last time you smiled because of me? If you want to maybe try something a little more challenging, God, is there an area of my life where I'm not fully experiencing your love? Or, you know, recently we talked about spiritual gifting and using our gifts. You could even ask God, God, how can I use my spiritual gift to serve you more? But just start by asking God a question and then listening. One last thing before we start this exercise is don't doubt that God is here with you this morning. Don't doubt that God is with you as you try listening. We can't control God. And so even as we set this time aside to listen, God may choose not to speak to us right now. And that's okay. We can't control the Holy Spirit. When Allison and I would drive back and forth to South Carolina during that season of our lives, we would drive 10 hours. And so we would sit for miles and miles and miles without speaking to each other, just in the car, enjoying the time together. You know, it's interesting, when I drove in the car, I never doubted that she was next to me. Even if we weren't speaking, I knew she was there. And I would just enjoy that time together. And so this morning, we simply want to be with God for these few minutes, listening. He may choose to speak to us. He may answer a question we're asking. He may choose not to speak to us this morning. He may choose just to let us be in his presence. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some music on for a few minutes and just encourage you to listen. God, this morning, for many of us, we are stepping outside of our comfort zones. We are so good at doing things, about going here and serving and giving of our time. And yet, to have a truly deep relationship with you, we need to communicate. And part of that is listening. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would do a miracle in quieting our hearts and our minds. We live in a world that moves so quickly. So, God, I pray in just in these few moments, you would help us to calm our minds and help us just to listen. Help us, God, just to be in your presence. And, God, if you choose to speak to us through your Spirit, help us just to embrace those words, to write them down, not to think too harshly of them or too much of them right now, but just to hear your voice and process it later, that we would just be in your presence this morning for these few minutes together. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and speak to us.